Grace and peace to you in God, whose Spirit offers living water and beckons us into new life. Amen. The water I give will become a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. What is this living water that Jesus offers? And what difference does it make if we receive this living water? Jesus comes to a well at midday. He is alone. He is thirsty. A woman arrives with a pail to draw water, and he asks her for a drink. The woman responds, "How is it that you, a Jew, would ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" And the narrator reminds us that the Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. That's an understatement. The relationship between Jews and Samaritans is fraught with mistrust, judgment, and a shared history of wrongs. What's more, it was verging on scandalous for Jesus to approach and speak to a woman alone. What Jesus does here is cross boundaries, reach across walls that have been erected over centuries of conflict and centuries of tradition, to invite a human encounter with this woman. So one thing that's always bothered me about this story is that the woman isn't ever called by name. One of a number of women in the Bible who just never get a name. I discovered this week that the Orthodox tradition has a legend naming her Fotina, which means enlightened one. It's a good name for her because over the course of the story, Fotina comes to see Jesus clearly, and she is the first person in John's gospel to whom Jesus reveals his identity. So we're going to call her Fotina today. This is an Orthodox icon of Jesus and Fotina. And you may also notice that the well is in the shape of a cross, and that's a symbol. Often baptismal fonts were made in the shape of a cross, and so that is a symbol of baptism there in the icon. Now, in the usual course of things, Jesus would have waited alone by the well that day at noon. Usually, the women in a community come to a well together at the cool time of dawn or dusk. But Fotina has come alone in the middle of the day. This hints at a possible estrangement from her community, which Jesus invites her to talk about when he says, "Go, call your husband and come back." Fotina answers him, "I have no husband." And Jesus replies, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you live with now is not your husband." And in this exchange, Fotina realizes that she is not speaking to an ordinary person, but perhaps to a prophet who is able to see and name the truth of things. But also, she is speaking to someone who knows her history, knows the painful truth of divorce and widowhood that have plagued her story, and of falling outside the usual expectations for what a woman's life ought to look like. He's a man, a foreigner, and he sees the stigma she carries in her life, and still he speaks to her and he listens to her. The talk turns to worship and religious things, and Fotina declares that she is waiting for the Messiah to come to teach the full truth. And Jesus says to her, "I am." He claims for himself the ancient name that God revealed to Moses and confirms that he is indeed the Messiah. Now, if you remember our story last week, when Jesus spoke with Nicodemus, Jesus said that believers are to be baptized by water and the Spirit. Now, to Fotina, Jesus says that God must be worshiped in spirit and truth. Remember Jesus saying, "The spirit or wind of God blows where it will." Here, the Holy Spirit has blown Jesus off his expected path into this unexpected and unusual encounter. He offers this outsider, this woman at the margins, the promise of living water. At the end of the story of Nicodemus, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that God gave the only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever abides in him and trusts in him, may have eternal life." In this story, Jesus shows his disciples, and John shows his readers, just who is included in the world. Not just the comfortable world we know, the Jewish world, the world of our everyday lives, but the world outside the boundaries and barriers that we construct. To Fotina, Jesus offers living water which gushes up to eternal life. But what is this living water? And what difference does it make? The living water is simply Jesus himself. Jesus is the I Am, the Word of God, come to walk among people, to get thirsty and dusty and hungry, to ask and answer questions, to change the lives of people he encounters. The living water Jesus offers is the presence of God and the opportunity to live in relationship with God. That is what it means to have eternal life, to be in a relationship with God, to belong to God. Fotina, the enlightened one who speaks, turns to her town to tell everyone about her encounter with Jesus. And Jesus stays there in the Samaritan town for 2 days. And many more Samaritans come to believe in him, to understand that he is the Messiah and Savior of the world. In her new book, Belonging, Professor Caroline Lewis writes that the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman is really all about belonging. That salvation is belonging. Belonging to God, staying and remaining in God, and belonging in community. Belonging is what we are thirsty for, and belonging is what Jesus offers as living water. Professor Joy J. Moore shared a story this week on the Working Preacher podcast about boundaries and belonging and the living water. She said, "Growing up in the 60s in Chicago with my family from Mississippi, there were certain exits we didn't take. They were sundown cities. They were places where myself, my family as African Americans knew we don't take that journey. Yet, some of those very places are places I'm able to enter now, simply not because of law, but because of the government, but because of the gospel. It's a journey. We haven't fully arrived there yet, but it's a whole lot better than it was for my grandparents. And so for us to spend less time on the division and more on the reconciliation, the belonging, is a great word for us in this season of Lent." Perhaps that is what Jesus means when he speaks of worshiping in spirit and truth, that God is not found in any particular place, among any certain people or tradition. God is present in the world, even in all the places that we don't think to look for God. We are living in a time when some people are working hard to build walls between people. Just this past week, a nationally syndicated cartoonist went online with a rant telling white people to just stay away from black people. There are laws being introduced across the country denying health care and human rights to transgender and genderqueer people, and laws that would limit access to voting for minority populations and limit the history that teachers are allowed to teach. New limitations on asylum seekers are denying people the chance at creating a new life. For me, the challenge in engaging a story like this is to continue in our work of engaging in justice and inclusion, and yet to not other, to not put up the dividing walls between that divide me from those people I see as opponents in that work. Right? For every one of us, for every person, for every congregation, there are those people that are other. And we consider ourselves the inclusive and welcoming congregation, but I think for many of us, there are still those that we consider opponents. And so how do we do the work of love and justice without hardening our hearts to put those others on the other side? It's a challenge for me. It's a living challenge. It's a walking challenge. And I think for, I just ask all of you as we walk this journey of seeking greater and greater inclusion and welcome in this place, how we make sure that that is still welcome for all people and that we are still working for justice, right? How do we balance all those pieces? And Jesus calls us into that work of crossing boundaries, crossing all the boundaries, pulling down all the walls that divide us from one another. For God so loved the world that God gave the only Son so that whoever turns to him in trust and follows him will have eternal life. The water I give becomes a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Jesus offers us the living water of belonging and then goes further. Jesus invites us, cajoles us, calls us to share that living water with others. Not just the close, comfortable others, but all the others that we keep on the outside of our boundary walls. May we follow Jesus into all the places he will lead us, crossing boundaries and leaving our assumptions behind. May we be open to the movement of the Spirit and the truth of the gospel. May we thirst for the living water, which is the love and mercy of God, and trust our lives to God. Amen.